أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We submissively turn to God and ask for His special guidance, because we believe He is the All-Perfect One, the All-Merciful One, and one whose special mercy is endless, especially for those who believe in Him and who submit to His will. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi al-Tahirin. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We were discussing a brief commentary on dua of Kumail, and we said that it is appropriate that before we start the dua, we should remind ourselves of the significance and the importance of this dua. The fact that, number one, this dua was requested by not an ordinary person but an extraordinary companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Kumail bin Ziyad Nakhai. Kumail was a member of the elite companions of Imam alayhi salam. Politically, he was quite active. He was amongst the first who pledged allegiance to Imam Ali when Imam was attacked and mobilized an army. He was in the forefront of those warriors in the Battle of Siffin. Administratively, Imam alayhi salam entrusted him with the task of governorship of a province in Iraq, Heat. Spiritually, the man also was advanced. Witness is the type of riwayat that is narrated from the Imam alayhi salam. And witness is the fact that he is given special audience by the Imam and taught this dua. Furthermore, the fact that this dua was also associated with Khidr, it's known as the dua of Khidr. Khidr was not an ordinary man. And lastly, the fact that the content of this dua is supposed to be so powerful that it has the potential of transforming an individual, even if recited once in a lifetime. Better so once in a year, or once in a month, or once every week. In order to gain a quick overview of the main themes covered in the dua, next slide please. We said we could conveniently divide this dua into six paragraphs. Next slide please. In the first paragraph, Imam alayhi salam addresses God by invoking 10 names, which can be summarized in three main names. O Lord, you know my problems. O Lord, you have the power to solve my problems. O Lord, you are loving and merciful enough to want to help me solve my problems. And then he makes the request, two things. Number one, I want certain spiritual gifts, but before I can get to that station and rank, I want you first to forgive me all those sins which are blocking me from reaching you. It is inconceivable for an individual to seek to get close to God and yet perform deeds which invoke the anger and the wrath of Allah. How to have performed deeds and be negligent about his past, not worried about his past. When you go before God, your past, your present and future is equally open before God. It is us in our limited existence that we only concentrate in our consciousness with the present. Our past seems to have been forgotten. But before God, who is timeless, our whole life is open before Him. It's inconceivable, therefore, to say to God that give me the tawfiq to get closer to you. And tuzi'ani shukrak and tudni'ani min qurbik. I want to get close to you, yet that same individual open up his past, which is open before God at this moment, he has deliberately or defiantly disobeyed God. It doesn't make sense to make that request. So first, the past has to be forgiven. Second paragraph, Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala man ishtaddat faqatuh. O Lord, I seek and I supplicate to you from a position of a person who is in desperation. We said that this paragraph could be considered as a tafsir of this famous ayah of Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, ayah number 60, where Allah says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّءُ. O Prophet asked them, don't they know this reality? Who is there in this universe who does respond to the call of the one who is muzhtar, in the state of darura, and who calls out from the bottom of his heart, da'a, who, and calls out to him and him alone, and definitely he's the one who relieves him from his distress. Paragraph number 3, Imam alayhi salam offers an analysis about why is it that we are in this particular state. إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي لم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى أسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك فلك الحمد على جميع ذلك. O Lord, you provided me with all the facilities, with all the faculties, all the gifts, all the talents. You gave me the power to decide. And then you tested me. And I got tempted. The dunya, the devil, the desires, and I got lost. But in all this, you are not to blame. I am to blame. And Imam alayhi salam then continues, now that I realize my own mistake, I come to you in confession, in repentance, in penitence, admitting my mistakes, so please forgive me. Paragraph number 4, Imam alayhi salam now raises the ante and he begins to invoke God in a strange sense we find rarely in the du'as. And that is, O Lord, even if you were to send me to the fire of hell, a fire of hell where some people will be told, don't speak and shut up. You are given the chance to speak in the dunya, but you refuse to accept the guidance. Don't talk now. Keep quiet. Suffer silently. Oh Lord, at a time when in that world only the reality will speak out, when lies cannot have any effect anymore, at that time my inner truth and reality will speak out. When I'm burning, if you do punish me at all, I will speak out from the innermost corner of my heart. Oh Lord, you were my beloved in the dunya. How can you ever punish me therefore? How can you ever separate me from those who are beloved to you? And then Imam alayhi salam of course says, مَا هَكَذَا ظَنُّ بِكَ. Of course it's never possible that you will behave or you will treat us in this particular way. In fact, I'm so sure of your mercy. I'm so sure. Had it not been in your wisdom that you decreed that only the hardcore criminals should be punished eternally in the fire of hell, I'm very confident that you would have turned the fire of hell into a garden of bliss. There would have been no Jahannam. I'm that confident. And finally, in the 5th and 6th paragraphs, Imam alayhi salam says, at this moment, in this instant, I want to make a change. Fi hadhihi al-layla, fi hadhihi al-sa'a, all my sins I want forgiven. Oh Lord, on this night you send down special mercy. I want to be included amongst those who receive it. And oh Lord, I want the rest of my life to be totally in your service and in your obedience. We were discussing the specific phrases of the first paragraph, and we have completed the 9 names of God. Allahumma inni as'aluka. Next slide, please. Next. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay, and bi quwwatik and jabarutik and izzatik and azamatik and sultanik. We've covered that. And also, وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي غلبت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء. Finally, the last name Imam عليه السلام invokes is that of Nur. وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. And I invoke you by the light of your face whereby everything is illumined and is enlightened. What is the face? We've already discussed this before. That face physically is that part of a being whereby he faces the interface, the interaction, the medium of interaction. Metaphorically, when it applies to Allah, it is that aspect of Allah as he relates to his creation, the apparent, the manifestation of his names, of his actions, of his functions. That is his face. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. The wajh of your Lord is that which is full of honor and full of majesty, full of love and mercy and wisdom, and full of majesty and power and wrath and anger. The qualities, the attributes, the functions, the actions of God whereby he relates, he interacts, he manifests himself to the creation, that would be his face. But there's one aspect of this face that is being focused here on, and that is the nur of this face. وَبِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ. What does it mean that Allah's nur is such that it enlightens and it illuminates everything? If you refer to the Quran, nur is used in reference to God in this one single ayah that appears in Surah Nur, chapter 24, ayah number 35. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Mathalu nurihi kamishkatin. The parable or the example of his nur is like a niche or a corner. Eastern homes were constructed in such a way that the lighting system was, there used to be a corner where the lamp could be kept. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. In that niche and in that corner in the wall, there is a lamp. الْمِصْبَاحُ فِي زُجَاجَةٍ. The lamp is covered by glass. الزُجَاجَةُ كَأَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ دُرِّيٌّ. This glass light, that this glass that covers the lamp, the oil lamp, is so clear, it's so bright, it glitters and shines as if it's a star. It's that clear. It's basically just a medium which allows light to refract and to diffuse. Yuqad, this oil lamp, this lamp is being supplied with energy from oil. Yuqad min shajaratin mubarakatin zaytuna la sharqiyya wa la gharbiyya. It is, the lamp is lit by a wick which is floating in oil, which is olive oil, a blessed tree, the olive tree. La sharqiyya wa la gharbiyya. The tree is not such that it is only energized by sunlight from the eastern side or from the western side. It is a continuous seasonal tree that takes the maximum energy from the sun. لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو تمسسه نار. If you concentrate on the oil, the purity, the clarity, the beauty of this oil is such that, in fact, the oil itself is about to light up. Even if the fire doesn't light it up, it's that pure, it's that clear, it's that bright. يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيء وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٌ. نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٌ. There is a flame that is burning. The oil which lights up this flame, the oil itself can burn up. It's so bright and pure and clear. نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٌ. Next slide. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah guides to his nur whomsoever he wills. يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. Wait a minute. Don't get carried away. This is an example. This is not the reality. Question, what is the reality? وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Allah knows everything. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows many things and you don't know much. وآيات الكرسي, Allah says وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ. We cannot encompass his knowledge save that which he allows us to understand. In his infinity, it's impossible for us to comprehend him in his totality. لَكِينِ, at a lower level, we can understand something. question. What is this ayah telling us about Allah being the nur, and therefore the face, the nur of the face lightens up everything, and we want to invoke him by that nur? One thing is very clear. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. This nur here cannot be the physical light. Wasababu, the physical light has been created by God. It is not God. In Surah An'am, chapter 6, the opening verse, Allah says, Alhamdulillahilladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. All praise be to God who has created the heavens and the earth, and who also has created darkness, and he has created the nur. So this nur, the physical light, or the light from the sun, or the light reflected, sunlight reflected by the moon, that is not the light meant here. It is something else. Question, what is it? In order to appreciate what this nur is, look at the other applications of nur in the Quran. In Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, ayah number 33, Islam has been designated to be nur. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. O Prophet, Surah Tawbah is the ninth surah revealed towards the end of the Prophet's life, around the time of the Battle of Tabuk. O Prophet, for 13 years in Mecca, for 9 years in Medina, you saw how they made different attempts in Mecca and Medina to try to oppose and to silence and to snuff out the light of God. But you know what they're doing? They are trying to blow out the light. You can blow out the candlelight, yes. But Prophet, you have survived. They cannot blow out the candle. Therefore, you're not a candlelight, are you? 13 plus 9 years, you're still surviving. Not surviving, you're growing. You've defeated them already. And they've constantly struggled. They failed. You know what? They will always fail. Because you reflect and represent something like the sunlight. You can blow as much as you want. You can't blow out the sunlight. But Allah wishes to complete His nur. And the nur therefore here refers to Islam, the teachings of Islam as the Prophet was propagating it. Keep this in mind, how the word nur appears. The nur of God cannot be snuffed out as represented in the teachings of Islam. Or in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 ayah 257, Ayatul Kursi. Nur refers to Iman. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور. Allah is the guardian, the protector, the helper, and the provider of the believers. He constantly removes them from a state of darkness to a state of nur. Nur here refers to Iman. Islam is nur, the nur of God. Iman is nur, nur of God. In Surah Ma'idah chapter 5, ayah number 15. The book of God has been referred to as Nur. Incidentally, Tawrat has been referred to Nur, Hudan wa Nur. Injil has been referred to Nur, Hudan wa Nur. Quran has been referred to Nur. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ نُورٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. The Nur has come to you from Allah. That is the book of God. Guidance, in chapter 6, ayah number 122, that has also been referred to as Nur. Hamza alayhi salam, the uncle of the Prophet, Sayyidu Shuhada at the time of the Prophet, when he converted, this ayah was revealed to describe that phenomena, whereby this commander of Islam accepted the faith. Ayah number 122. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Say, O Prophet, to these disbelievers, look at the lifestyle and the behavior of this individual, a person who was dead and we gave him nur, and now he is living and he is walking with this nur, this new lifestyle, the message and the guidance that he has received. Is he like the one who is still in the darkness? Again, guidance to be able to experience closeness to God has been designated as nur. In the riwayah, or in Surah Zumar also, this nur has been described as guidance. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. Say, he whose heart is receptive and expansive enough, not constricted and closed, it's expansive and responsive and receptive enough to the nur from the Lord, such that now it accepts guidance from God. Say, is this man the same as one whose heart is closed and constricted and blind to the truth? This nur has been described in the riwayah that if somebody wants to judge whether his heart is responsive to the truth and receptive or not, let him check. Does he experience التجافي عن دار الغرور والإنابة إلى دار الخلود والاستعداد للموت قبل الفوت? Does he experience a dislike for the lowly pleasures of the dunya? Does he experience an eagerness and zeal to be ready and prepared for the akhirah? Does he experience a willingness and a readiness to prepare for death before death comes to him? That is the nur in his heart, the nur from Allah. Notice the different manifestations of nur. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi has been designated to be the nur. In Surah Ahzab chapter 33, ayah number 46, لقد, that we have sent you, إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله وسراجا منيرا. We have sent you as a guide who is like a light to mankind. The Imams عليهم السلام have been designated to be Nur. أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة. الرواية which is معتبر, زيارة وارث أو زيارة جامعة كبيرة, one of the most authentic riwayat we have about the زيارة. خلقكم أنوارا فجعلكم محدقين بعرشه. Allah created you to be Nur, and then you were always associated with the throne and glorifying the Lord. Notice the different manifestations of Allah's nur. All of these have been called the nur. We're trying to understand what that original nur is. Definitely it's not physical nur. But what is it? Apparently, anything and everything that receives from Allah that special grace, such that it reflects guidance, would be nur. How? Next slide, please. One way to appreciate, again, it's an illustration. We're not saying this is the case. It's an attempt to understand. One of the Mufassirin says, consider the parable of the God being the light. Consider the parable of sunlight. Sunlight is a beautiful example for us to appreciate how God could be light. Not physical light though. It's got an amazing speed, 186,000 miles per second or 300,000 kilometers per second. Amazing. Instantaneous from one point to the other. As far as we are concerned, forget about astronomy, forget about space. Here on Earth, this speed is instantaneous. This light illuminates everything. Anything which is in darkness, once sunlight falls on it, it is suddenly bright. Sunlight also enables life on earth. Everything grows by the energy from the sun. Plants can photosynthesize by energy from the sun. We either eat plants or we eat animals who eat plants. We get our energy and life from the sun. No, the sun also holds everything in place. The sun is so massive in the solar system. It's so huge. The volume of the sun can accommodate 1 million Earths inside it. That's how big it is. And with that pull of gravity, it's kept everything in place. All the 9 planets revolve around it by the pull of gravity. It holds things in place. It provides heat and energy. I mean, all this energy we have, the artificial light, it's from fossil fuels. Fossil fuels are from sunlight, basically. And of course, it has the power, once it shines, to kill certain toxic bacteria. Notice some of these qualities of the sun and how they also apply to God. God is the one who holds everything in place. God is the one who gives life to everything. God is the one who energizes everything. God is the one who illuminates everyone's heart with guidance. God is the one who is instantaneous in His work. But this is an illustration. It is not the light. Next slide, please. These are some statistics about the sun we can ignore. Next slide, please. Next slide. Look at this hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when one of the narrators comes to him and says, you know, there are people, there are some scholars who are claiming that if the Quran says that there will be a time when people shall be able to see their Lord, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرًا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا Surah Qiyamah. That on the day of judgment there shall be people who will be extremely happy because they will be looking at the face of their Lord, and therefore to see the Lord is possible. Imam alayhi salam says, no, it's impossible. Tell them, educate them, that ash-shamsu juz'un min sab'ina juz'an min al-kursi. This sun is just one of 70 parts of the kursi, the throne by which Allah rules the universe. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَالْكُرْسِيُّ جُزْءٌ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ جُزْءًا مِنْ نُورِ الْعَرْشِ. And this kursi is only 1/70 of the nur of arsh, which is even above the kursi. وَالْعَرْشُ جُزْءٌ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ جُزْءًا مِنْ نُورِ الْحِجَابِ. And there is a level of God's essence which is beyond our comprehension, which is not even mentioned in the Quran. There's some realities we don't even know, and we can't even know. We don't need to know. But the riwayah tells us that beyond the arsh there is hijab, which is 70 times, the nur of hijab is 70 times more powerful than that of the arsh. Wal hijabu juz'un min sab'ina juz'an min nur al-sitr. And even that hijab is 1/70 parts of the nur of sitr. Now you go and tell those people, in kanu sadiqina, if they are true in their claim that we shall be able to see the Lord, falyamla'u ayunahum min ash-shams laysa dunaha sahab. Well, let them go and stare at the sun when it is unclouded, if they are true in their claim. And the sun is only 170 4 times less than the true nur of God. The comparison I've made of sunlight is an illustration. We are trying to understand what could be the nur of God. Next slide. In Jawshan Kabir, verse number 47, Imam alayhi salam, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaches us to address God in these names. Ya Nur al-Nur, whatever is Nur, the Nur of guidance in our heart, the Nur of illumination, the physical Nur, He is the one who is the Nur of this Nur. This Nur is a manifestation, the truth behind it is Allah. Ya Munawwir al-Nur, He's the one who illuminates even the Nur itself. Whatever light we have here is artificially created, originally from fossil fuels. Fossil fuels have got it from the sun. Where did the sun get it from? Well, the sun basically gets it from itself, because the hydrogen converts into helium. It's said that per second 600 million metric tons of hydrogen atoms fuse and convert into 596 million metric tons of helium and 4 million metric tons are lost in the form of energy. That energy appears as heat and light. In 1 second, therefore, the sun produces enough light and heat and energy equivalent to the total artificial energy mankind has been able to produce in its total 10,000 year history. 1 second. Ya munawwir al-nur, he's the one who enlightens the nur. Ya khaliq al-nur, he's the one who creates it. He's the one who governs it. He's the one who apportions it. He is the one who is the nur of every nur, before every nur, after every nur, above every nur. Ya nura laysa kamithlihi nur. Finally, there is no nur like his nur. Essentially, any positive quality that we ascribe to God, knowledge, power, wisdom, generosity, kindness, compassion, justice, any quality that we have in human beings, in the physical creation, we take the positive side, one. We remove the defects. Two, sunlight is very powerful. It's the best light we know in the solar system. There are bigger lights beyond the solar system, but concentrating on the solar system, it's the best source of light we know. Lakini, despite all its positive qualities, it's defective. It's defective because the sun is in its middle age right now. 4 or 5 billion years from now, this sun is going to die out. This sun's light is limited in that it's not durable. It's limited in that it is not perfect. But when we take the positive aspect of any quality, perfect quality in the creation, and then we ascribe it to Allah, we remove all the defects, and we say the pure, perfect form of this positive qualities belongs to God and God alone. Lahu المثل الأعلى له الأسماء الحسنى ليس كمثله شيء لم يكن له كفوا أحد. These are the four fundamental principles that we have when we ascribe any quality to God. Take nur, even physical nur. Look at the positive side of it. It illuminates, yes. It brightens, yes. It energizes, yes. It's instantaneous, yes. Take all these positive qualities, ascribe it to God. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. But he is not this. He's something beyond. Exactly what, we don't know. But some of this can be ascribed to him. And therefore, constantly, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Glory be to God. Greater is he than my imagination. Far away is he from the limitations and the defects of the creation. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Let's pray to Allah to get one glimpse of the nur in our hearts, the true nur of God, such that our life changes. And the way to know that is, do we develop a disinterest in the lowly pleasures of the dunya? Do we develop a zeal for akhirah? Do we get ourselves ready for maut? We should know the nur of God has entered our hearts. At that time, we can sincerely say, وَبِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الَّذِي أَضَاءَ لَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ.